And we still believe that by His stripes we were healed. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning. The title of my message is that, What Do I Do with Jesus? And I want to use one verse of Scripture out of Matthew chapter 27. As Jesus stood in Pilate's hall to be judged, this was the question that was posed to him. And this is what Pilate, he said, "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ?" And I want to speak on this for just a few minutes this morning and just pray. I want to get you to pray with me, and just I want you to be able to hear what the Lord has to say to us today. Amen. Father, today we thank you, Lord. I thank you for the worship, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your people, they know, Lord, that you so deserve the worship and the praise and the honor. And thank you, Lord, that we've had that time this morning, so rich, so powerful this morning, to just be so free to worship you and praise you and release that from within us, Lord, to give you, Lord, what you so richly deserve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the testimony for healing Dawn's back. Thank you, Lord. I know that that's been a very painful ordeal with her. And I thank you, Lord, that as she stood up here with her husband, Lord, they give you the glory. They give you the honor and the praise. I appreciate, Lord, the other pastor, Lord, who yielded to pray for you. But, Lord, we know that all healing resides in you and flows through us. Lord, I just pray today, Lord, for the next few minutes that, Lord, you would anoint me to minister your word. Holy Spirit, it is you that will penetrate our hearts. It's you that will speak to us. Not with our physical ears, but our spiritual ears. It's you that will deal with things within our life that only you know about. It's you, Holy Spirit, that will cause us to believe things about the Lord today. It's you that comes and convinces us of sin and righteousness and judgment. The things, Lord, that we are so ignorant of at times, it's you, Holy Spirit, that will come and teach us these things and show us. And we want you to know, Lord, for the next few minutes, Lord, we're going to block everything out of our minds. We're not going to think about what we're going to be doing after church. Lord, we're going to focus upon what you're saying to us, Lord, because we believe the next few minutes are very, very important to our lives. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much today and care about us. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I have found that's really the greatest question that you and I will ever be posed with and face is not only what would Pilate do with him, but what will you do with him? What will I do with him? Because he's come, he's given his life. It's done. It's a done deal. He's finished it. No one could stop him. They tried, but they couldn't stop him. He's finished what he started. But he did it for you. He did it for me. Now, what will we do with him? How will we deal with Christ? I had the privilege of this past week of Lisa Sullivan's uncle and Linda Webb's brother passed away this past week, and Johnny Snipes, who was 53 years old, and they asked me to do the funeral, and I was able to do that Thursday afternoon, and I appreciate everybody who prayed for me, and it's so important. Funerals are important for me that I don't just preach a funeral message. I know that who I'm preaching to, you know, there's a lot of reality in that room when you're facing a casket and your loved one or friend or someone and their body is there. And, you know, there's a reality to this. And it tends to mark a time in your life. And I don't know how many funerals you've attended. Most of us have had to attend some funerals. And if you haven't, you will. That's just part of this process in this life. Jesus said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Every one of us, we have an appointment with death. It's going to happen. You can't avoid it. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And I think the Lord is so gracious to us because he gives us that information before it happens so that we can prepare. And I know that's really important that we prepare for that day. I don't know if you've thought about that, who'll do your funeral. You know, most people who attend here will say, "Well, Pastor, I think, you know, you'll probably do my funeral," and I probably will do your funeral. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things that start swirling around a funeral. And one thing that always comes into play, whether it happens before the funeral or not, but it always comes into play, is the Lord. And what did they do with them? That's always a question. You know, when I was, because I didn't know Johnny Snipes, and it's always a little bit a disadvantage to me when I preach a funeral of someone that I did not know. So I always call upon the family or friends to eulogize them and tell them their personal stories, because it's not that I wouldn't say it, or if they wrote it out, I wouldn't read it. I wouldn't mind to do that, but it just seems more personal if it comes from family members or friends who actually knew the deceased. Well, we were meeting Tuesday night with the family, and I met with several of the family members, and I was talking to them about some of the things about Johnny. One of the things that Lisa said, Lisa said that he was the rebel of the family. And how many know, is Lisa here? Where is Lisa? There's Lisa. She'll hear this, because this is the second time I've mentioned this, but if you know Lisa, you know Lisa doesn't have a critical bone or a negative bone in her body. She didn't mean that my uncle is a rebel in the sense that she just basically meant that my uncle does things his own way. And in that light, I think we're all rebels. Would you agree with that? You know, rebellion is in our DNA. Because Adam and Eve did not have children until they were rebels. They didn't have children until after they fell. And so that rebellion was passed into all humanity. Their rebellion was put into us. And it's something that has to be dealt with. But when I was preparing Wednesday for this message to preach it, to speak at his funeral, that was the very thing the Holy Spirit brought back up to me, that what Lisa had said about her uncle, that he was a rebel. And immediately I began to think about all the different kinds of people who were saved when they called on the Lord. And when I began to just, and I didn't have to go in my Bible, I didn't have to look, because I've read it so many times, and you probably have too, but there were fishermen, there were tax collectors, there were prostitutes, there were adulterers, there was rich and poor, young and old, there were lepers, there were rejects, and there were rebels that called upon the name of the Lord that he saved. Can I get an amen? How many thank God that he can save a rebel? You know, if you want to talk about rebellion, talk about Moses and his rebellion. Talk about David and his rebellion. Talk about his own people, Israel, and their rebellion. Don't think the Lord doesn't know how to deal with rebellion. He does. And when I look and I could, when I would think about all the different kinds of people who approached Christ and who he preached to and all the different kinds that came to him. You know, it goes back to the book of Romans that it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad that's what it says? It just says, whoever. Thank God, because you and I were a whoever. Not only were we rebels, we were Gentiles. We had nothing. But thank God, he said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think we ought to praise him for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The book of John says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God did not send his Son into the world. If you go to the book of Revelation and Revelations 4 and 5 and the great worship scenes of heaven, this is what it says about that. It says, as they describe those worship scenes, it says, folks out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation are before his throne worshiping him. From every race, every color of skin, every nationality, every background. It did not matter what they had done. He was willing to forgive them. Now, you're not going to get much better than that. No one else can do that for you. There may be people that are alive that still haven't forgiven you for some of the things you've done to them. But I'm not talking about them, because they don't hold your eternity in their hands. He does. He does. He holds it. That's why he said he went down and he holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Who holds the keys? Jesus holds the keys. Who can unlock your door? Jesus can unlock the door. No one else. Can I get an amen? But see, there must come a time. There has to come a time, even with Johnny Snipes, there had to come a time when he confessed the Lord. There had to come a time. It's not just enough to just talk about the Lord. It's not enough to know about the Lord. You've got to know Him. You've got to accept Him. You've got to repent of the sin that put Him on that cross. Because when He hung on that cross, He was not being crucified for what He had done. He was being crucified for what we had done. Can I get a better amen for that? Maybe some of you don't realize that. But everything He did was perfect. But He took upon Him all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us has turned to our own way. There's that rebellion. But the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Do you know what iniquity means? It's the Hebrew word is avon, avon or avon. It's not, they didn't sell beauty products back then, so I'm not saying that, but it is. It's a way to remember that. But let me tell you what that means. It doesn't just mean that God just forgives you rebellion. It means He forgives you for everything that pertains to rebellion. You know, when we live in rebellion, a lot of times not only do we ruin our lives, people tell me all the time, they say, Pastor, those were in my rebellious days. Or those were in my rebellious years. And I know everybody, you kind of straighten up because you say, I had those years, Pastor. I had those years when I was rebellious. I was a rebel in my family. I rebelled against my parents. I did the opposite of what my parents wanted. I married the opposite of who I should have married. I've been through divorce after divorce, and I did this and that, and I've been through this and that. And I'm telling you, I've got scars in my life because of the life that I used to live and the choices that I made. Can I get an amen? Am I talking to anybody in here? You understand what I'm saying? It is that critical to us that we understand that the only hope we have is in Christ. There is no other hope. And that we must keep that message very alive in our life and in our church. We cannot, for any reason, start debating other religions and start talking about who we like and who we don't like as far as preachers or what they're doing. Our main concern is to continue to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because that is the only thing, the only reason people are going to be able to be saved. The only reason people are going to be able to be delivered. You'd have a hard time having people to forgive you if you're an adulterer or a prostitute or a drunk or an addict. But when you go to Him with those things, He's willing. I said, He's willing. Give the Lord a hand clap in here, would you? Many of us know what it is to live that rebellious life. Maybe some in here still are somewhat of a rebel. But there came a time in people's lives in the Bible, in people's lives in here, that they said, enough is enough. I've had enough of the way I'm living. And they called on the Lord. Because the Bible is clear. It says, whoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. That means you've got to ask Him with your mouth for help. Nobody else can do that for you. I can't call on the Lord to save you. You have to do that. You have to call. You have to voice that. You have to let it be known. And how many thank God in here that when you called, He heard it. He was waiting on that call from you. Amen? Let's praise Him again. I'm telling you. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing boring about people getting saved. And there's nothing boring about talking about what Christ did for us on that cross. That's the way we have to get right with the Lord. You know, I've talked to people that have called on the Lord from a jail cell, from a hospital bed. I even mentioned this in the funeral. I mentioned this, that there was a preacher who was in a bad car accident, who would not serve the Lord. And while he was upside down in a culvert, couldn't get out, he was pinned in that accident, the Lord said, are you ready to serve me? And from that car accident, in that culvert, pinned in, he called out and said, Lord, help me, and I'll do what you asked me to do. People have called out on God from a bar stool, in a courtroom, all hours, day and night. And thank God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the Lord's ear is turned to hear that call. There'll never be a time in your life that you look toward heaven and start talking that He is not looking back at you and listening to every single word you're saying. Isn't that incredible? He says in another place, He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, He doesn't say, I'll open the door. He says, you'll have to open it. He says, I'm knocking, but you'll have to open it. And He says, if you open it to that knock, He said, I will come into your life and you will come into my life and we will become one. Isn't that what it says? See, you know, I'm so grateful that the family was able to confirm that Johnny had gotten his life right with the Lord. And even Johnny's mother, you know, Johnny left a daughter with 4 grandchildren. He left a mother. He left 2 sisters and 3 brothers. You know, he was only 53, which is relatively young. I'm just saying. And Johnny's mother told me, Joanne, she said, you know, I'm surprised that he died so young. And isn't that the way it is? Sometimes I'm just telling you, don't let death surprise you. Be ready for it. Be ready by the time you leave today that no matter what happens to you, you'll be ready to meet it. Because the only one who can answer that door and make it through it will be the blood of Christ upon your life. You will have to have called on the Lord before it ever happens. Can I get an amen? We don't know when or how, but we do know it's going to come and it's going to happen. And I ask you, you know, I asked this question at the funeral home because it was something the Holy Spirit just says, and it says, has the Lord given you plenty of time to get prepared? Has He already given you plenty of time to get prepared? You know, that's something you really have to think about, is that how many times has the Lord given me an opportunity to get right? You know, that's important because this is what's going to happen. You know, people will stand before the Lord and they'll tell Him, I never had a chance. And He'll roll back in their minds every single time. Whether it was at a church or at a funeral, whether it was sitting at home and you were listening to some preaching service and they were offering an altar call, or whether you picked up something or read something, but God was giving you an opportunity. You know, something strange happened to me yesterday. This doesn't happen to me on Saturdays. Debbie had gone to see Patty in the hospital, and I told her before she got, I asked her, I said, are you going to go to Walmart? You know, and thank God for Walmart. You know, everybody If you don't live close to a Walmart, then, you know, you're out of the will of God, basically. But so I told her, I said, and she said, well, just text me a list. And I had five or six things I was thinking of that I wanted. And so I just texted them to her. And then it was like I was through with my message. I'd already text Matt my notes, and I had all that done. And it was about 4:30. And the Lord said, why don't you just go? I should have saw that coming. I don't generally get out on Saturdays. I just try to stay closed in, and I want to just be with the Lord and just make sure I get everything right on Saturday. But anyway, I said, yeah, I'll just go. So I text her and I said, I'll go. And so when I pull out of my subdivision, I got over in the far left-hand lane, and the first red light I come to, there's an HEB over there, and it was like the Lord said, you know, some of that stuff on that list, you could just get it over there. And I thought, yeah, why do I have to go all the way down to Walmart? I can get my stuff right here at HEB. So I just pulled in there. And when I pulled in there, I parked in a really different spot, far left, which put me going into the store over by the drugs, not by the produce. I usually go into the produce section. How many know we're just creatures of habit? How many basically shop the same way every single time? And we don't like nobody to mess it up. So I'm going in the left side. Now, before I left, let me just add this. I said, Lord, if there's someone you want me to talk to in Walmart, I said, you just put them in my path. Because we really are wanting to see people saved. And the only way we're going to do that is to ask them and to witness to them and to invite them to church. And then maybe they'll get saved in church. And that's wonderful. Whatever. You know, Wednesday night, Zach and Mallory met a girl in Kirkland's there on Fairmont. And she came to church Wednesday night and got saved. I'm just telling you. They just both felt it. It was a strong, and that young woman just wept her way into salvation Wednesday night. We're so grateful. But anyway, I said, Lord, if there's somebody. So when I'm going, and I thought, well, I'm on my way to Walmart. And then he says, well, you can just get everything at HEB. And I said, well, you know, just as easy as he could cause me to run into somebody at Walmart, he can cause me to somebody run into HEB. So I parked on the left, and I'm going in the opposite way I usually go because it was the closest door. And as soon as I got my card and walked through those sliding doors, I said, Lord, where are they? Where are they? I went down the aisle, had to pick up some stuff in the pharmacy area, and there was a woman parked in it. I looked right at her, and I thought, no, that's not it. I don't really like to go one-on-one with ladies anyway. That's Debbie, and I'd rather talk to men. Really, I'm just saying, men, you ought to talk to men. You can get a little bit bled over. I know you have to use a little common sense about that, okay? But I looked at her anyway, and I thought, and I listened. There wasn't nothing. So I just rounded that corner, and when I rounded that corner, there was somebody I recognized. They goes, hey, Pastor Jay. The Lord said, that's him. That's him. That's the truth. Within 5 minutes of entering that store, I was right talking to someone that the Lord wanted me to talk to. And we had a very personal conversation about their life. And I was able to pray with them. And I thought, dear God, this thing really works. This is unreal. Just ask. Folks, this is the year. I said this at the funeral, but we are living in a late hour. And let me tell you what that means. It means that people have heard this gospel for a long time and the Lord is ready for them to make a decision. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's people all around your life. They've heard it for years and years and years. And it's time, and the Lord wants to draw the net. He wants to draw the net. Anyway, I'm going to close with this. The reason I wanted them to put that on there, and I wanted you to look at that, is that we must all accept the work he did on that cross. See, we must abandon what we think we've done to get into heaven, and we must focus and put our faith in what he did for us. And that's what you have to tell your loved ones. It's not what you do. It's what he did for you. Now, I'm not against people cooking meals, giving a financial offering to somebody, witnessing to people, even laying hands and people getting healed. But those things won't save you. Did you hear what I said? Those things won't save you. If they could save you, then he wouldn't have had to go through that. No, he had to go through that. And that's why we put our faith in what he did on that cross. Can I get an amen? A better amen. A good amen. Amen. We must stand before Almighty God, not in our name, but in his name. Isn't that right? The Bible states that he who believes is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. It's that simple. That's what he says. We must remember that there was nothing easy about what he did for us on that cross. Don't ever look at that and think, and I know that's a little graphic. I think that's actually from the Passion of Christ. I think that is, but you have to understand that that's somewhat of a true picture of the way he actually looked. It was terrible what he took. And let me tell you something. It wasn't easy what he did. Let me tell you, the cross was heavy. The blood was real. The beating was brutal. The darkness was supernatural. The rejection was deep from his own disciples and his own people. And the pain was extreme. What do you say about someone who was willing to go through that for you and me? All you can say is that that's extravagant. Someone really had to love you and me to go through that. And that's what took him and put him on that cross. Isn't that right? It would have bankrupted us. It would have destroyed us. And that's why he had to do it for us. You can call it simple. You can call it a gift, but don't ever call it easy, because what he did was not easy. He did it because he loved you. You and I will never be able to pay him back. Never. We owe a debt. And the only thing that we can do after we're saved is to give him our life and say, Lord, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. We just sang it. We're redeemed. And the word redeemed means paid for. He paid for us, and we belong to him. Now, what Justin is talking about is that after we're saved, then we become disciples to follow him the rest of our life. How many believe that's the least I can do? Did you know that's what it says in Matthew 16:24? If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Did you know the Lord won't put you on that cross? You have to take it up. You have to deny yourself. You have to say on Sunday mornings, it's not about me sleeping in. It's about me getting up and being faithful to the house of the Lord. When the tithe buckets come around, you have to say, it's not about what I get to keep. It's about what I owe and what I'm going to give to the Lord. And it doesn't matter how I feel about it. That's the least I can do for all he's done for me. And when it comes to telling other people about him, we say, it doesn't matter how they're going to receive me or reject me. That's the least I can do is tell them what he did for them. If they reject me and reject him, I just go to the next one. That's the least I can do. Come on, somebody. Come on, praise him here just a moment. This is a... How? When you look at the cross, you look at him, what do you see? I see, and I listed several things. I see love, I see sacrifice. I see judgment, Him taking my judgment. Because if you want to know how God deals with sin, that's the way He deals with it. I see selflessness. I see payment. I see substitution. I see death. Not His death, but my death. See, He died my death that I could live His life. That's why it says you will never die. All that happens is that your physical body will cease to function here, but the eternal part of you will live with God forever. They say it's just a like a flick of a switch and then you're out. Whatever that happens. I see life. I see hope. I see access. The access He gives me to everything. I see eternal life. That's what I see when He hangs on that cross. I see that. And this is what I hear in the Word. It says, if I be lifted up, if Jesus is lifted up, He says, I'll draw all men to me. Here's what will happen. The more we exalt Him, the more we magnify Him, the more we preach about Him, the more we sing about Him, the more He's lifted, God will cause people to come in to hear it. They may not even know why they're here. You know, our success, our ability to overcome, the longevity of a Christian life, I know no one will say that they want to quit. No one says that going into it. I want to quit on the Lord. No, it just happens. Things start happening. What happens, basically, though, is that you first see this. This is what he says. It doesn't really come. Our victory, our ability to run this race and keep doing what he's called us to do and keep obeying him and keep loyal to him. It's not by our effort that happens. It's by our union with him. That's why he said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. See, the church at Ephesus had, and if we're ever severed from Christ and we quit loving him, then everything begins to spin out of control. That's what the Lord said to the church at Ephesus. You have left your first love. The very one who saved you, loved you, forgave you, delivered you, helped you. Now you don't love them anymore. He said, you left it, but thank God he didn't say you lost it. He said, you left it, which means we can come back to it. Amen. Here's the thing. You don't want to happen. I don't want to happen. If you ever quit loving him, then everything else will become routine and become very boring in your life. Worship, prayer, coming to church, every bit of it will have no meaning to it whatsoever. It'll just be like, just another thing you do in the week. And let me tell you something. When we come to church, it ought to be the highlight of our day and the highlight of our week that we get to come in here and worship God. We don't have to come here. Who's going to see me or who's not going to see me? I do it because I love him. I worship him because I love him. I want to be loyal to him because I love him. Why? Because of what he did for me on that cross. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, today, we thank you for your son, Jesus, his broken body, his shed blood, which was shed for us. Lord, you said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there are people in this room that have called on the name of the Lord some years ago, but they remember it, that when they called out, even as a child, he was so real to them. And when they asked him to forgive them of all their sins, he was ready, standing there as a savior to forgive them. accept them. Lord, that changed our life forever. Lord, we never want to go back to this world or a life without you. We know what it is to live that way, and it's horrible to live without you. But Lord, you know there are things that push us, things that tempt us, things that test us, things that pull at us, to pull us away from you, from our devotion to you, our compassion for you, our love for you. Lord, help us to stay close to you in these last closing hours of this dispensation of time. This is not an hour for us to be looking back over our shoulder as to what we left and what we were forgiven of. It's a time to look ahead and say, Lord, I'm following you with all my heart.